You're listening to the Gospel Project for Preschooling Kids Weekly Leader Training, helping you teach your kids the big story of the Bible.
Welcome back to Leader Training for Gospel Project for Preschool and Kids. It's Brian and Karen back with you. And this week we are talking about Unit 25, Session 2, the three parables from Luke chapter 15. So Karen, big idea of this session, I'm guessing, has something to do with three different parables.
It does. Yes, we are covering the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And, you know, you may see other Bible stories, you know, where they separate these out, but we, you know, Jesus told them together. We want to keep them together because they all, you know, show God's love for people. With the lost sheep, you know, he leaves the 99 to find the one. The lost coin, you know, the woman searches diligently to find that one lost coin. And then finally, the lost son, which you'll often hear referred to as the prodigal son. Some like to say two sons, which is, I think, more accurate. But the father welcomes and restores his wayward son.
Yeah, and that last one, of course, it's meatier. There's a lot more to it. So I can understand somebody saying, I prefer that one to be treated by itself, because we could have gone into it in more depth if we had more room.
True.
But as you were saying, Karen, it's important that Jesus told these together, and the repetition, I think, really is important for us to hear. Imagine being a listener that day. You have just rebuked Jesus for eating with sinners, and then he rolls off these three parables back to back to back, making a very similar point. And I think the repetition is important. So hopefully as we teach these to our kids this week, that will come to the surface as well. So let's shift then. I've already kind of started this, but what are the areas that need extra caution or extra prep time? And I would just say, again, in the heels of what I just said, if you do have time, I know a lot of our groups may be meeting for even up to an hour and 15 minutes, an hour and a half sometimes, especially if your context is you do kids ministry while worship goes on, and sometimes worship can be an hour and a half or so. So some of our group leaders may think, yeah, I have elbow room. I've got time. I'm usually trying to fill some time. If that is the case for you, then I would say give yourself that elbow room in this third parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. I've even heard it called the loving father before. But because here's the thing, the main point there is the prodigal son, the son who disdains his father, basically. My understanding, it's basically he said to his father, I wish you were dead. It was as if he said that. So that him doing so much that was wrong toward his father, and yet his father loving him and welcoming him back, that's the main idea that Jesus wants to get on our radars. But then, you know, last episode, if you listen, we talked about parables having one major meaning, and that is it. But this is one that actually has a secondary meaning, and it is the older brother and what he represents, and that's legalism. He's the one who says, Dad, I've been here all along. I've done everything right. You've never given me a party. And notice his attitude is, you owe me. It's not, he doesn't love his father any more than the younger brother may not have. He just said, you owe me. I deserve. And that's the legalistic heart set of so many people. So I think it's really helpful if you have time, and it's important that you contrast these two brothers, talk about how both of them had issues, because some of your kids may relate more with the younger brother, the prodigal, and some may relate more with the older. And so it's important that those who relate with the older don't see themselves as off the hook this week.
Yeah, I would agree with that. One of the things, the dangers, I guess, I mean, is children growing up in church. I mean, they can really quickly, you know, get into legalism and think, you know, sometimes the kid that knows all the answers, you know, their heart might be far from the Lord. And so I love in this parable, or these parables, that, you know, Jesus recognized that not only were the sinners and tax collectors there, but also the Pharisees and the scribes, you know, and he just had a word for each of them. And I think that is mentioned in the Leader Bible study, but I think that's really worth pointing out.
All right. So how about you? Is there anything that you can think of for preschool, for babies and toddlers, that we need to be aware of?
Yeah. Just highlighting some activities, things that maybe aren't real readily available, is one of the activities actually looks at an evacuation map. one of the intro activities to introduce the Bible story. So my hope would be that there's one in your classroom, but if there isn't, you know, this might be a great time to like make sure you have those security measures in place. So definitely would encourage leaders to do that.
Or even do it with your kids there, you know, kind of talk through it with them and draw it out or think about it or, you know, hey, should we go here into this closet? No, that wouldn't be a good place to go. How about we go out this door?
Definitely. Make sure they know. Because a lot of times we do train our volunteers in what our evacuation procedures are. But it is true that, you know, the kids may not know. And if you can get everybody trained a little bit, that'd be great.
I'm a big advocate of this. We're kind of getting on a tangent, but it's an important one. Schools have fire drills. I remember in college we would have fire drills. Churches need to as well. I think it's right and fitting to have opportunities, especially since kids change rooms every year and so forth. Well, in general, maybe not all, but a lot of movement between rooms and so forth. And I think it's good that we want to keep in mind the need for our kids to be safe. Providing a safe, loving environment is really important in our kids' ministry, in our preschool ministry. So I think it's good that there are opportunities. If you're a preschool teacher, maybe connect with your ministry leader and make sure this is okay, but maybe even do an evacuation drill that morning. And you know, get them all together, get them in line, do a head count, think about the safety procedures that you have already existing to follow, or find what you need to develop. You know, counting the preschoolers, how you're going to move, getting out to where your spot is, where your safe spot is, doing another head count and those kind of things. So actually walk through that maybe. With them.
Yeah, and honestly, too, with that, which is heartbreaking to think about, is even your lockdown procedures, you know, because unfortunately, you know, we live in a time when, you know, churches are a target. So it's good to have that in place, too.
Yeah. But let me be clear. Connect with your ministry leader about this. Make sure everything, because what we don't want to do is accidentally scare kids. There's, and parents. So, if you do this, the parents would need to know ahead of time, hey, parents, we're going to be doing a drill. We're going to be doing a practice so they can know about it. You don't want to blindside a parent and little Billy comes back and says, we hid under desks today because there was a gunman.
That's true. Very good point. Yeah.
So we just want to make sure that we are communicating and doing all that.
Safety, but don't traumatize them in your effort to be safe. Yeah.
Safety, but not scars.
Yes, exactly.
All right, what else do we have?
Okay, so another thing is in the preschool lesson or session, we're also singing Amazing Grace, which I think is such a classic hymn, you know, but a lot of little guys don't know it. And very rarely do we take time to explain lyrics to preschoolers. So I think this is just a great opportunity to talk through, you know, the words of that hymn as you teach it, you know, to them to help them understand, you know, some of that symbolic language. Of course, in an age-appropriate way. And then also, I thought this was so fun. Both the preschool and toddlers lesson have an activity where you throw a party. And I think this is so valuable because, you know, I know so many of us have grown up with this idea that God is this angry stick in the mud. But really, like, the Lord is all about...
He's a what? An angry stick in the mud?
Yeah. You didn't grow up thinking about that?
Well, not that phrase.
Oh, stick in the mud?
Angry stick in the mud.
Okay. Well, I mean, you can be a stick in the mud and be angry. You could be either or. But either way, the point here is to use this activity to help little ones, you know, understand the joy, you know, that God has in rescuing us. And, you know, too, the Bible is full of celebration and, you know, we just really want to emphasize that. So I think this is a great opportunity to cultivate that with little ones. So, and then babies and toddlers, they are making some mud today. So another potential for dirtiness, but I don't think it's going to get too bad because you're doing it in a Ziploc bag. But, you know, to find dirt, you know, you can just dig in your yard, probably in like a good spot. Or potting soil would probably be the easier thing if you happen to have some on hand. So another thing in babies and toddlers is they're looking at books or videos about pigs, you know, what the prodigal son was or the lost son was doing when he was, you know, away from the father. So again, if you don't have books about pigs readily available, if possible, I would try to just grab some from the library. unless you have some you want to add to your ministry library. But then too, for videos, anytime we suggest showing videos, you definitely want to preview those ahead of time and just be watchful for any ads that could pop up. So
definitely. One thing to mention from the older kids and a younger kids activity, the older kids has an activity called Storytelling Studio. Suggest you use some clay models and do the story. And younger kids has parable puppets similar. And again, this may go without saying, but just want to be clear, you know, the clay models is a suggestion, but be creative. I've seen many churches use our paper bags from the Bible story videos. They've created their own paper bags and done paper bag puppets. If you think that would be fun, if you think your kids would connect with that, do that. Or, you know, if there's something else that your kids love, go ahead and just use a style, a storytelling style that resonates with your kids and have fun with that. So again, that may go without saying, but I just wanted to be clear. All right, so let's transition. What are we excited about God potentially doing through this session? I will go first that while we hold first and foremost to God's glory, and I would contend that we should, that is paramount, that we filter everything through that overarching truth and reality that God's glory is everything. While that is true, we cannot nor should we diminish his love for people. They are not mutually exclusive at all. They go hand in hand. God's glory is made known to us by his love for us. But his love for us points toward his glory. And so we don't want to diminish his love. We don't want to be so dogmatic of talking about God and his glory that we forget that he loves us. That's proven by the price he paid to redeem us in Christ Jesus. And that's what these three parables are getting on our radar, that God loves people and he will go to great lengths to rescue them through Jesus, as I just said, the sacrifice. So this is a great opportunity to remind your kids or teach them that they are loved by the creator of the universe. What about you, Karen?
Yeah, that's beautiful, Brian. I wanted to highlight just a line in the Leader Bible Story that says, you know, he seeks sinners who have wandered far from him, and he seeks sinners who try to earn their salvation by their good works. And just the story of, you know, the lost son, I just think, you know, at one time, any of us can identify with either of the sons, you know, the older or the younger. And I just hope that this session will help children grasp, you know, that God has a gracious heart toward both. And so, yeah.
All right, that's a good place to wrap up for this week then. Thank you so much for listening to this week's Leader Training. We hope that you found it helpful as you prepare to teach the Gospel Project for kids and preschool. For more helpful resources, please visit gospelproject.com.